Welcome back to the Music Industry Podcast. Today we are with Shima Siddiqui, who is the, your job title?
Artist Community Manager at TikTok.
Artist Community Manager at TikTok. And we're very excited to have someone directly from TikTok on the podcast because it's 2022 now and it is becoming such a important role in artists' career. And most artists now are actually breaking from TikTok. A lot of misconceptions about TikTok. And if you want to break from TikTok, then Shima is here to tell us all about that. So, what, as a whole, what are the benefits for an artist? What can an artist achieve on TikTok?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think, you know, TikTok is a short form video platform, which we hope will, you know, inspire creativity and bring joy to people. And I think artists can show all different facets of their personalities and who they are as artists and their creative process on TikTok. So, you know, my favorite thing about TikTok is just the storytelling aspect. So an artist can go from how they've written a song to the recording process to actually releasing it and then performing it live for the first time and then engaging with their fans on the platform as they, you know, react to it. And so you can kind of go through the whole journey of releasing music. You can also just show what it's like to be an artist. Because I think when you're in the industry, going to the studio, going on tour, all of that feels monotonous. It's part of the job. But for someone who's has no idea, like, that content's fascinating. And so you can show what it's like to be an independent musician in London, and what it's like when you're going to the studio, what it's like being on tour. I think people think being on tour is really glamorous, and it's not most of the time. And, you know, everyone's on their phones backstage, hopefully creating TikTok content. And, you know, I think just showing those facets can really help create a fan base and have fans understand who you are as an artist.
So what you've actually just described there is not what I expected of what is expected of an artist to create content on TikTok. Mm-hmm. It is, when you think of TikTok, you're thinking dance routines, you're thinking using the sounds and creating content. So are you saying that an artist can keep things quite kind of just general and normal types of content in order to grow their audience? Like what would you see an artist doing in order to say, yeah, they've got it down? They know that content is going to fly.
Mm-hmm. So I think it depends on the artist. And the content that works the best on the platform is whatever is authentic to you. So what works for Lizzo and Charlie Puth isn't going to work for, you know, Bring Me the Horizon or another artist. So I think what I get excited about is when artists are posting content that is authentic to them and it performs really well. And what you've just said about people thinking they have to dance and lip sync, that's a really common myth that is out there in the artist community about what TikTok is. And my team actually just launched the Artist Handbook a couple months ago, which goes through a lot of these myths and tries to clarify them. And, you know, again, we stress that it is authentic content. And so, you know, I think that so I work with an indie band called Blossoms they post content. They'll make up games backstage before they go on stage and like come up with these crazy rules and just they'll film it and they'll post it. And that is really fun content. They've just put a tour on sale. So they came up with a bespoke song about the tour and created a TikTok around it. And it's done really well. And it shows their musicality. It shows their sense of humor. But it's also promoting the next thing that they're going to do.
I think there's a lot of stress on the artist as well in terms of not getting the views. So it's a different kind of platform to say YouTube and TikTok, where the more your audience grows and the more content you put out there, it's very linear in terms of the views will start at like 50 to 100 to 150 to 500 to 1,000. Whereas even our TikTok account, when you post, you don't know how many
some
views you're going to get.
Some will get like 20,000.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what is your message to artists in terms of what happens if you get 5,000 views on one video and five on the next? Is that okay? Like, do you just keep posting?
Yeah, so that we do cover that in our artist handbook as well. So that's another great question. Yeah, TikTok is a platform where views will differ from TikTok to TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that artists should stress about views. You know, it will help you give a read of what's working and what's not, what's engaging and what's not. And the other thing is, you know, yeah, you might not get a lot of views, but did you get a lot of comments? Did you get a lot of shares? Mm-hmm. So the people that do like that content are really engaging with it. And those are the people that are probably going to come back and engage with the next video, and they're sharing it with their friends. So, you know, you're expanding your audience that way. So I always say, don't stress about the views. It's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. But again, if you create authentic content that you really believe in, then it will connect. But sometimes it does take a while to connect, but it always takes a minute to create a fan base. And it's about posting authentic content consistently.
Mm. I mean, everything you're saying is about being authentic.
Yes.
I think most artists, most labels, most managers are focusing heavily on the algorithm. So what kind of content can we create that's going to get a higher watch time, that's going to get more comments? Do you think that's a little bit pointless for artists to focus on if it's not authentic? Or do you think you kind of have to do a little bit of both, where you're creating content that you enjoy, but really thinking about what's going to engage people a lot?
I think fans are really smart, and I think they can tell when someone has posted content that it's not authentic to them. So I think, again, you can post content that's authentic to you, but also have the end goal of like promoting a track or promoting a tour, much like that Blossom example I gave, like, you know, them coming up with like a fun song is much more engaging and interesting than them going like, hey, our tour's on sale, like, check it out. That, you know, so I think it's just about how you approach it. And, you know, obviously, there's going to be strategies if you're, you know, promoting a new track or new album. But, you know, I think if you're an artist that never dances and then you're on the platform doing a dance, people are going to be like, wait a minute, what is this? And it's probably not going to do as well as, you know, maybe you an artist doing an acoustic version of the track or showing how that track came together. I mean, an extreme example is Charlie Puth. He teased Light Switch for 16 months. I think only he could do that because he has so much going on. But that's very much came from him. It wasn't, you know, someone telling him to do it. It was very much, you know, taking fans on that journey of how that song was created.
And I mean, we've briefly mentioned the algorithm, but I think a lot of people in the industry are sort of taking guesses as to what it is, how it works.
Yeah.
What do you guys think is important to sort of trigger the algorithm on TikTok? Is it comments? Is it shares? Is it watch time? What do you guys think is the most important thing?
So the algorithm, everyone's trying to figure it out. No one really knows. Again, it's just about following our best practice, which again is in our artist handbook. So we recommend posting around 3 to 4 times a week, and making that content, again, authentic to you, leaning into trends. So is there a trend on the platform that you want to take part in that could potentially do well, using trending songs on the platform? We have a sounds page where you can see the viral songs, the top songs, and then we have these amazing mood playlists that you can take part in. And then it's about seeing what other people are doing on the app and can you engage with it? So if you're an artist and you see someone playing piano, can you duet that? And duetting is when you do like the split screen. Can you, I don't know, play guitar alongside it? Can you sing alongside it, and, you know, create content that way? So I think it is just about using the native features such as duets, stitches, and then, yeah, commenting, sharing. I think TikTok, one of my favorite things is you can respond directly to a comment with a TikTok. And so if you're a fan of an artist and they respond to your comment, like, that's amazing. And, you know, I'd get really excited about that personally. So I think things like that work really well. Yeah.
Cool. And do you have any artist advice for those that genuinely just struggle with content creation. I mean, our YouTube channel talks heavily about content on all platforms, but the main thing that we hear from artists is like, I don't want to do this. I struggle creating content. I don't have time for this. I'm in the studio.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for those people?
Absolutely. So I think, again, one of the myths that's out in the world is that you have to post 3 times a day. For artists, you're writing music, you're recording music, you're touring, you're playing shows. There's so many facets of being an artist. Saying you have to post 3 times a day is just overwhelming. And it's just not realistic for most artists. And so we recommend that you kind of do whatever, again, feels right. And for some artists, it will be posting once or twice a week, but they'll make it really, again, engaging content, or, you know, they'll show different facets. So I think you really have to think about what can you do on the platform that you feel comfortable with. And, you know, we offer, you know, tools to kind of help. And, you know, and the music partnerships team is there to kind of help guide artists and give them ideas of content that they can post without feeling stressed about it or feeling overwhelmed. And, you know, sometimes it takes a minute. I think if you don't know what to post right away, that's okay. Try different things. Also, don't be afraid to show your other interests, right? Artists aren't just into music. They're into fashion, they're into sports, they're into cooking, they're into makeup. So if that, if, you know, if that's interesting to you and, you know, you want to post about how you went to go see the F1 or you went to go see the Lionesses win at Wembley, like that's still awesome content that you can post and show your day. And it doesn't take away from who you are as an artist.
Is it damaging if an artist goes down one route and it doesn't work and then they've got to change? Do you recommend starting a new account for that artist or do you just flip your content?
No, I don't think it is damaging if you try something and it doesn't work. I think you just learn from it and then you just try something else and you will find your stride and what works and what doesn't. And I've heard this from artists that it took them, you know, like, for example, 6 months to really figure out like what content their fans responded to. But it just means trying different things. So you just have to start posting.
And how does the sort of the platform decide where who to push your content out to, in a sense that you need to use hashtags in order to, for example, our TikTok, we'll have this on TikTok as well. How does it know whether to push that out to artists and who's an artist? Is hashtags useful or do you just let the algorithm kind of do its thing and figure it out?
Hashtags are definitely useful. We actually have a music newsletter that we send out every Monday that kind of features all of the hashtags that we're promoting. And if you can create content in line with that hashtag, then it definitely works because people will be potentially searching for that or it'll be, you know, featured on the app. So hashtags, being strategic about hashtags definitely can help. You know, I think great hashtags for artists are hashtag new music, hashtag live music. We have hashtag producer. And, you know, we do things around days as well. So in March, there was World Piano Day. So we did hashtag piano. And we also push different genres because I think one of the other misconceptions about TikTok is it's just for pop music. It's just for rap music. And that's not true. There's classical music is huge on the platform. And there's so many amazing classical artists making really engaging content and also making classical music accessible to the masses, which I feel like previously it hasn't necessarily been. And we're pushing hashtag electronic music and kind of highlighting a lot of really diverse electronic artists that you might not be aware of, such as Shy Girl and Amy L. We're going to be pushing alt music. And, you know, we're going to be featuring alternative artists on the platform. So I think if you can, if one of these hashtags is right for you, then absolutely use it. And our users know to kind of like go through those hashtags to discover new music, for example, or check out, you know, we've done hashtag festival This summer, and it's been great to see all the different festival content from, you know, Glastonbury and Parklife and all of the different UK festivals.
Have you found the demographics have changed then recently over the last 6 months? Because, you know, I would say about a year or two ago, it was like
13-year-old girls doing dances.
13-year-olds doing dances, yeah. And it was a very young platform, but I'd say as time has gone on, more older people have.
I remember I had it, and you genuinely were like, "Ah, no, it's rubbish, rubbish." And like, I remember my parents
get addicted,
and like, even my parents and like an older generation were like, "Oh, it's rubbish." Mm-hmm. Now they're all sat there swiping away.
Mm-hmm. I think since the pandemic, to be honest, the demographics really changed, and yeah, now it's everyone's on the platform. Like you said, my parents are on the platform. The content they get served is very different to the content that I get served. And yeah, there's artists of all different ages too. I mean, Elton John is awesome on TikTok.
I've actually never seen his account. What's he doing on TikTok?
He's doing.
Does he perform or does he talk?
He performs. He did a really cool duet with ABBA, who are also fantastic on the platform recently. Check that out.
That's hilarious. See, you got Andrew Lloyd Webber's on there.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is on the platform.
He does very well.
Rod Stewart makes me laugh because he'll do like these dance challenges with his wife, which you wouldn't expect, but he's having fun, so why not? And you know, like even like bands like Green Day are really great on the platform. They lean into trends. They'll do like, you know, there's like a Sad Eyes effect that was really popular a couple months ago.
So they use that. Yeah,
and things like that. So yeah, I think it's for everyone. That's what I love about the app is no matter what your interests are or what music you're into, every genre exists on the platform. You just have to find it.
Sounds like it's kind of just about being yourself and about kind of what you find fun rather than to promote yourself, I'd say.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think it is an important promotional tool, but the best way to do that is to be yourself and show who you are as an artist. And I think one of the myths is that you do have to be funny, and that's actually not true. There's a lot of really interesting, you know, thought-provoking content on the app. You know, there's artists such as Sam Smith and Tom Adele who've talked about mental health, which I know is a really important subject for artists. You know, you can be educational. You know, there's artists like Lizzo who will be vulnerable on the app. And so I think, again, whatever works for you works on the app.
So what are the hot artists at the moment where you've seen them start from TikTok and you can say, like, this artist broke from TikTok?
Yeah.
Is there any artists that people listening or watching this podcast can look up now and see an example?
Yeah. So one off the top of my head is Sam Ryder. Mm-hmm. So he started posting covers on the app, I think 2 years ago, and he put his own spin on them. He had a very specific way of doing them. I mean, he's got this incredible voice. He built up his fan base. It started like Alicia Keys duetted one of his videos, and that kind of gained traction. And then he ended up being signed to a major label.
From the covers alone?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he put out his own EP, again, using TikTok to, you know, promote it. And then again, duet fans who are using the sound. And then he went on to represent the UK in Eurovision and came in second.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
He's smashing it. And then there's artists such as Kat Burns. She's a really interesting one because she released a track 2 years ago. And then really focused on just developing her fan base, and then posted I believe it was an acoustic cover last year, and then it just took off. Really? And then the track ended up going to the top of the charts, and she's, you know, released a version with Sam Smith, and, you know, and I believe she's going to be going on tour. And so I think she's a great example of someone who, you know, released a track, and it wasn't instant, but she just stayed at it, being consistent, posting great content, and after a while it will end up connecting.
So she kept basically not having any traction at all, and then that one video just pop?
Well, I mean, I'd say it was, there was traction, but just like, you know,
sort of very gradual, exponential, really.
Yes, exactly. Because I think, you know, often people will just see the success and think, oh, that must have been overnight. But it's not like that for any artist. Like every artist, you know, it takes a while. They graft in their own way. And, you know, it takes time to get your music out there.
Mm-hmm. One thing I really wanted to talk about is like the new tools that TikTok brings in, because as a consumer, you are constantly seeing people use different tools.
Yeah.
And like Stitch was bought in and things like that. And recently you've introduced stories as well.
Yes.
So it'd be cool if you could talk about the new tools you have and everything and how people can be using them to grow their audience.
Yeah. So yeah, stories is definitely one of the new features that's come in. And I think that's more for shorter pieces of content, if that makes sense. And, you know, you might want to give someone a look at a snippet of your day, and then later on, you're going to make a little bit longer TikTok about it. And then actually, one of our biggest tools that we've just launched is our new distribution service, SoundOn.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we work with so many incredible developing artists, and a lot of them just weren't sure how to get their music on TikTok or even on other digital streaming platform.
Used to be like a through just your distributor, didn't it?
Right.
And then they handled everything.
Right. So this is kind of given, you know, independent artists the power to do it themselves. And, you know, we feel like we've made a really artist-friendly product where artists can upload their music and then it's available on TikTok as well as other digital streaming platforms.
So you guys put it to other streaming platforms as well?
We can do, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So nice. Like a distribution company would do.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a distributor platform.
Nice.
But I think what sets it apart is you have the TikTok piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually just launched the pre-release feature, meaning that you can preview your track exclusively on the platform, you know, get it out to fans, get fans familiar with it, and drive pre-saves or just get people familiar with it before it comes out everywhere else.
Okay, cool. So that's really not something that other distribution companies even offer, is it?
I believe some do, but it's just one thing that I believe that like sets us apart because we're able to then really kind of monitor those tracks and, you know, see what's working, see what's not. And, you know, we work really closely with artists to kind of help them with their content strategies and kind of let them know like, hey, this video, you know, really seem to react with people. So potentially creating content like this would be valuable because it's responding, or this isn't working. Here's some other ideas. Mm-hmm. So that's been really great. And, you know, SoundOn, in the first year, you get 100% of your royalties.
Nice.
In year two, we take 10%, but there's no other hidden fees and you retain the rights to your music.
Excellent.
Yeah. So you just license them to SoundOn, but they remain yours.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you say you help artists with their content and stuff.
Yeah.
Is there any artists that come to mind where you're like, we've done a great job with this? They're really growing at the moment.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Blossoms come to mind. I remember like having a chat with them like back in October and kind of answering their questions. And then I just was like, have fun with it.
Yeah.
And then they went away and then started creating that content, like I mentioned about the games backstage. And then, you know, I think that they've seen like the response and then that kind of has helped them then create more content. You know, in terms of SoundOn artists, I work with this artist, Chloe Adams, and she had a really interesting story. She used to just tease songs on the platform, and she teased a song called Dirty Thoughts, and it got about 5 million views in 24 hours.
Wow.
And she hadn't finished the song. She was like, I don't have a full song. So she went back and with her writing and producing partner, finished the track, released it on SoundOn. And it just, you know, it got over 10 million streams on Spotify in the first week. You know, her TikTok followers grew. She has, I think, like 1.4 million now. And she's really been able to kind of create a fan base just posting content around her own music, as well as covers as well.
Mm.
So it's been amazing working with her and just kind of seeing that trajectory.
I think that's a good like kind of moral of the story, in the sense where she posted an unfinished song, whereas artists by nature are very perfectionist. They don't want anyone to hear anything apart from the finished product. But are you saying now you could actually use TikTok to test your audience to see if the song's even worth finishing and releasing?
I think I've seen other artists do it. And I think if you feel comfortable putting out an unfinished piece of work, then yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, I understand artists that don't, and they're perfectionists and they don't want anyone to hear it until it's perfect. That's also okay. But I think that, you know, for Chloe, she really said she would test it out, see how people responded. And that doesn't mean that a song's done. If it doesn't, you know, respond with people, then she's like, okay, maybe I have to come back to this and try something else, or maybe add something to it. And then I'll see if it, you know, if people like it, you know, in the future.
So had Chloe been creating content before that blew up, or was it?
She had,
like,
yeah.
So she built a base audience.
She did, yeah.
Beforehand, sort of like to get the traction going.
Yeah.
What
kind
of things was she doing before that?
She was posting a lot of covers.
A lot of covers again.
A lot of covers, yeah. A lot of covers alongside her own music.
So yeah, she already had.
Yeah, what's interesting as well is a lot of the examples we're using are so music focused. And I think another myth is musicians are like, I have to be funny, so I have to do like a little skit. And even if it is based around like music, it still has to be a skit. And I think so many artists say to us, like, yeah, I can go viral on TikTok, but I can't get people off the platform to stream, which is clearly a myth because look at the charts. But how do you think people can get those fans to stay and it not just be a viral video? Is it again, just being authentic?
Yeah, and posting consistently.
Okay, yeah.
And again, you know, posting once with your song is not going to be effective. You need to regularly be promoting your music in whatever way you feel comfortable. And then again, using other sounds that are on the app. I mean, one of my favorite things in terms of, you know, when I see content from artists is like, I love to see what artists inspired them. And so I think TikTok is a great place to talk about that and just be like, oh, I was listening to this song and it inspired me, so I wrote this and this is how it influenced me. And, you know, or I grew up listening to these artists and this is who I want my career to emulate. You know, I think things like that are really interesting. And I think that, you know, TikTok users are, they're really proactive in that if they like your music, they will support it off platform. You know, there are artists such as Casey Lowry, who's an amazing independent musician, and he sold out an entire UK European tour off the back of his TikTok platform.
Yeah, that definitely proves it.
How do you send people, link in the bio kind of thing?
Just people that way. Yeah. And, you know, I went to one of his shows and every single person there knew the word to every single song. So like they're hardcore fans, you know, and he hadn't really released any new music yet. And so, you know, I think things like that are really exciting. And I think, you know, in the last year, I believe 40 number ones in the UK started on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
In the US, it was 175 tracks, you know, top the Billboard charts. So it definitely has an impact. And I think, you know, what I find really interesting is it affects pop culture, right? So something like Stranger Things, the Kate Bush song, people then took that track to TikTok to create content. And it ended up topping the charts. And it was a great way for, you know, a new generation to discover her music. So I think that's also, you know, the power of TikTok.
It's funny to be a bit savage. It's like we get sometimes TikTok gets a bad rep with artists where they're like, oh, we got to do dances and it's dominating the music industry. And it's like me and Maddie a lot of time, which I know you can't say this, but we can, is like, get a grip.
Yeah.
Like get
just
a grip. Like
after
the stat of the top 40 artists, it's actually slipped my mind, but it was like insane stat on how many came from TikTok. Like you can't change the environment in the world and how people are consuming music, how many are discovering music. So like stop trying to get your CD to a radio station when
you've got this thing
not,
on your phone.
We're not going back to that now.
We're
not getting back to that, so you might as well embrace it and understand the world where it is now.
Yeah, but it's also like what I love is the way that it's not just new music as well. So obviously these people are like, oh my God, you've only got the Justin Biebers of the world that are going viral on the platform. And it's like, we had Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
When was that? Like lockdown, maybe?
That was early pandemic. Yeah. Yeah, 2020.
And like that ended up charting all over again. Mm-hmm. Over Christmas, Mariah Carey obviously comes back, but she does very well on the platform.
She does.
And it's like, it's not just kids that are releasing songs and going viral and then charting anymore.
Not at all. I mean, I worked on an Olly Murs track that had been released. It's a funny story. I worked with Olly when I was working at a label.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, worked on that song, Dance With Me Tonight. And then 10 years later, it went viral on the platform. And then you had artists such as Madonna and Drew Barrymore using the sound. And then it just kind of had this second life. And, you know, it wasn't a song that was, quote unquote, made for TikTok. Mm-hmm. Just a catchy pop song that people, you know, related to and responded to.
Mm-hmm. It also kind of proves there's no end to a song now.
No.
You don't have to stop promoting it all of a sudden because you're bored of it, because you never know what other people are going to react to, or when it's going to get picked up by someone else.
Right. And I mean, you know, we've seen even just this year, there was like an Edison Lighthouse track that was, I think, came out in the 70s that did well on the platform. The Ting Tings came back, and that started as a pet trend. So again, not music focused at all. And then we saw a lot of actors and actresses using it to kind of show all the characters that they'd played.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had people like Reese Witherspoon using the track. And again, you know, that song came out over 10 years ago and it had a resurgence.
Wow.
Yeah.
We always say, don't try and write songs for TikTok. Just like, if it's going to go viral, it's going to go viral. Would you agree with that? Or would you say it is possible to write a song for TikTok? Like, I think Drake tried it.
Well, I'm not an artist. I'm not a songwriter. I think that good music connects.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think try write music that, it, you know, again, people will relate to, and it will eventually connect in some way. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, there's no magic formula. And, you know, there's songs from all different, you know, genres and, you know, from the 70s, 80s, 90s that do well. And yeah, they're all just good songs. They're catchy songs that people relate to in some way and can create content around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think that there's like a magic formula.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had one more topic to talk about if we have time.
Okay, yeah.
Do we have time?
I actually have another thing that I want to ask.
Okay,
but
we just like want to keep stealing all your time.
We've got time.
Yeah, we got time. Good. One thing I really want to talk about was going live because we saw, I think at first people kind of struggled with the idea because during lockdown everyone was doing on Instagram, they tried YouTube live, a lot of people struggled, but then you're seeing people like Doja Cat bringing in a huge audience.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you can get more people to your live and connect with you and engage?
So I think it's about just going live again consistently.
Okay.
The cool thing about TikTok is that if you go live, it shows up in your For You page.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's different from other platforms. And so, you know, if there is a live where someone's performing, I'm more likely to click on it and be like, oh, I want to hear this or see what they're doing. And so I think it is, I know I keep saying posting consistently, but going live consistently and, you know, engaging. So, you know, if people are asking you questions, answering them, maybe performing a bit of your music, talking about your music. Again, it's an open forum, but if it should feel like a conversation between you and your fans.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I'd like to go back to the Blossoms thing just quickly and clarify what their relationship is. Are they signed to a label and working with TikTok, or have they gone directly through Sound On? What kind of is their situation?
So they're signed to a major,
mm-hmm.
And I work with them on an artist partnerships level. So I I'll have like a meeting with them and answer all of their questions and, you know, clear up the common misconceptions and then just, you know, again, work with them. If there's a hashtag or any activity that we're doing on the app that I feel like might be relevant, I'll let them know. And then whenever they post content that they feel really proud of, they'll send it over as well. You know, and then we're able to kind of potentially feature it in our music newsletter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the great thing about our music partnerships team is that we all just really love music. Like, we're all fans. Mm-hmm. And so I love sending, like, things like that around to the rest of the team being like, check this out. Like, how great is this? And, you know, we are all just sending each other TikToks all day.
Obviously, they're signed, but it sounds like they don't. If you use SoundOn, you don't really need a record label, do you? Well, I mean, in a sense where, say, you've got 100% of your royalties in the first year, 10% taken on fees in the second year. And then if you obviously get big enough, you get an artist partnerships manager come in, help you. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I work with artists of all different levels. Mm-hmm. So it's not about just getting big. I think it's just about using the platform. And if we notice you or, you know, someone interests you, then we're happy to like have a chat and help you.
Of course, so it can be someone that's literally got a couple thousand followers. Yeah. You guys see potential there and want to help out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is really exciting because you kind of see their career build.
Yeah.
So it's great to be there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it really depends on the artist, and a lot of artists want to remain independent for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. SoundOn is an option for them. And again, I think that TikTok has really democratized the music industry because you could be an independent artist in a small town in the UK, you know, create beautiful music, upload it through SoundOn or any other distributor and get it, you know, and people from all over the world can engage with that and you can have fans from all over. Mm-hmm. And then who knows, like, you know, what's next? Like, you could be opening for someone on tour, or maybe you do get signed, or maybe you decide, actually, I'm going to stay independent and I'm going to use a platform like SoundOn to continue to push my music out there and, you know, create great content that people seem to respond to.
Well, TikTok's so powerful, would just use their own platform anyway for now.
Yeah.
Because I assume you're going to keep your royalties forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't expire at all. So it's basically yours and your income.
Yeah. Forever. Well, yeah. I mean, in the second year, we do take 10%.
Oh, but yes,
yeah,
of course,
rest of it. Yeah. Is yours. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to
know? No, I think it's a good place to end it.
All right, well, thank you very much
for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much for watching. If you're not subscribed already, do subscribe. If you've enjoyed this, found it useful, drop it a like and comment any questions below.